Those who are new, how many of you totally haven't meditated before? Oh, completely new. Do you all know the Buddhist teaching? Ah, good. Most of you know. Nobody doesn't know the Buddhist teaching. At least the Four Noble Truths. Then it makes my work easier. Just to share with you all what we are doing here. You see, it is an informal meditation. You can come anytime, you can leave anytime. No forcing, nothing. Meditation is to be done with understanding. Don't force yourself. So if you don't understand, you can ask. So what you need to really have an outline understanding is we got a 2-hour session, 8:30 to about 10:30 we end. What we do is when we start, we will compose our mind so that we develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then we pay respect to Buddha. There is a Buddha Rupang or Buddha image at the back here. So when you pay respect mindfully, you develop the spiritual faculty or Sadda, which is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Then you have this very strong mindfulness that will come together with the composed mind that pay respect. These are the mind state that you need to develop to help you to calm down and to develop the meditation. After that, we will use the chanting. The chanting is we chant the salutation to the Buddha, followed by the three refuges, which you do at the temple every Sunday. Then you renew your five precepts. I will explain to you all why you have to do all these things. This is the Buddha's way of actually training you to develop the meditative mind. And the key to understand meditation is the mind that is not trained, think a lot. The Buddha called it very heedless. Heedless is because you look at the whiteboard here. There are five mental hindrances. This is all in the Buddhist teaching. You don't know, you can ask. Hindrance, like the word denote, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful and calm. Understand not? So you cannot become peaceful is because throughout the day, your mind has these hindrances. And I will explain later. Then in order to overcome all these hindrances, you must develop the five opposite spiritual faculty, which is over the other side. Just like I already mentioned two, confident, sadda, or faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then the second one is virya. After you really know who the Buddha is, how special he is, and how wonderful his teaching is, how it can bring about enlightenment to maybe enable you to become completely free of all suffering, then your life will be very different. It will become very peaceful, very calm, very meaningful. Then nothing in this world can actually affect you anymore. There is no more sorrow, lamentation, sadness, fear, worry, anxiety. Almost like you are a very happy person. That's it. No matter what happened. No matter what you confront. Then the other one is sati. Sati is mindfulness. Mindfulness will bring about a very quiet mind. That's why meditation can bring about inner peace. The benefits of meditation are on this whiteboard. This will help you understand better and maybe develop the interest to meditate too. The byproduct of meditation is immediately you silence your mind and develop the ability to be peaceful. So inner peace is very difficult to come by for most people nowadays, especially in our society, which is so hectic and fast moving. From inner peace, the energy is so positive, it will bring about inner well-being inside you, and your immune system all will be raised, and your health will improve immediately, especially for those who are always agitated, restless, full of fear, worry, anxiety, and unhappy. All these negative mind states are very, very negative in energy field. And they will cause your cell to mutate and lower your immune system. That's how you become stressed up. Then sickness, disease all come about. So the byproduct of meditation is very useful. Inner peace leading to inner well-being will bring about better health, clarity of mind, which is the third benefit. Then when you have clarity of mind, you can see things clearly. You can make better decisions in life. Then you can use this clarity of mind to meditate, to understand what is going on, how you become conditioned into all the various mental states of fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, lamentation, and reacting. And when you start to see all this, you develop a type of understanding of your own life. If you have a choice, do you want all these negative mental states? If you don't want, then you can actually bring about a conscious decision to change your life for the better. So it will lead to understanding, which we call wisdom. The mundane wisdom is already quite good. But if you were to really meditate and go deep into it, you can insight into certain very unique characteristics of nature that the Buddha talked about. He said in this whole universe, all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they have these three universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering, non-self. If you can insight into them, then there is profound wisdom that will enable you to actually clearly understand who you are, what you are. And the teaching that the Buddha teach about non-self or anatta is not a myth, it's a reality. Is something that you can understand and realize. Then you will not be gullible, deluded anymore. Then you will not hold and cling on to things. Then all of your selfishness, your greed, your emotional negativity and fear all, they can fade away and disappear. So those are the advantages of meditation. Then after that, of course, you have good sleep. You can sleep very well. Nowadays, not easy to have good sleep for most people who has a lot of problem, especially those who have what they call quite traumatic type of life problem. Even depressed people, they find it very difficult to get a good sleep. Then not only good sleep, if you're a student, you study better, you're working, you perform better, you're more efficient. So all these are very important advantages of meditation. So with that, I think we can start. So you compose your mind, then develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then you recall to mind all the great loving kindness, wisdom and compassion of Lord Buddha. Then you pay respect mindfully to the Buddha. Then we will start the chanting. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikapadang samadhiyami.Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyamiSadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, just relax yourself, then we will start. Maintain some form of attention, alertness. Then you listen to the sharing of the instruction. Then after that, I will give you instruction on how to develop the meditation. You don't have to really remember anything. Because later on, for those who are new, I think Suyan still have this one.These notes, do you still have? You can collect a copy of this book from Brother Suyan. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, a compilation of email written by me to various Buddhist groups and Dharma friends in the early years when I started to share. So this was compiled in the year, I think, 2007, I think. Not very sure of the date. Anyway, most of the instructions are inside that book. So today, maybe since there are more new people, I make full use of what this book has to offer to let you all know, so that you can have a good idea of what this meditation is all about. You see, this type of meditation that the Buddha taught,They call it vipassana meditation. Vipassana come from a Pali word. There are two parts to it. Vi is the three characteristics of nature. The impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Or in Pali, they call anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Passana is to insight into these three universal characteristics.So the gist of the Buddha's teaching is to develop this meditation so that you can develop these insight knowledges or wisdom that will enable you to become awakened or enlightened to these three universal characteristics. So that is the key, that is the most important thing that you need to focus on. The byproduct of meditation are many, like I...just now explained to you. First, it develops a calm mind, inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Then there is clarity of mind that enable you to see things as they are, develop the clarity of mind. Then when you can do that, there is an understanding that will unfold. They call it wisdom, panya. So wisdom is one of the key benefits. Then when you have wisdom, your life becomes different.You will no longer entangle with life. Everything can be understood clearly, and you will know how to resolve and cope with all of your life situation and problems that you encounter. You can even confront the realities of life and existence that most people get afflicted, like old age, sickness and death, even birth, separation from loved ones,possession that you hold onto dearly, your wealth, your money, your property, all those things that you gave a lot of meaning to. Somehow, when conditions cease to be, they can actually disappear or separate from you. So in time of separation, like divorce, or separation during crisis, nature's disaster, death and all these things, it can be quite traumatic. But this type of understanding and wisdom can free your mind despite what happened. Then when you go through life, the Buddha said, you will experience a lot of things that you may not like, he said. You will encounter people that are not easy to be with. So he said, when you are with people whom you don't like, you can be affected, you can become miserable, you can develop suffering. Then when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations are not met, again, people become unhappy, miserable, sad. So all these are the realities of life and existence that you will confront. So in modern society, terminology, we call it by different names. Like disease and sickness, they call it your health problem. When it talks about health problem, you all understand. It can be very traumatic. Nowadays, a lot of cancer patients, a lot of very traumatic type of disease that are not easy to endure. Like HIV, kidney failure, heart attack, and even those, what they call, certain very critical type of rare diseases too. Then apart from what they call disease or sickness, which we call health problem, you also have financial problem, relationship problem. Your relationship with your loved ones, your colleague, your friends, your in-law, your own brothers and sisters, your parents, and even your children. If things doesn't work out, it can be very traumatic. Then there's another one. Most of us need to go and work. There is a career life. So there is a lot of problem associated with career life. You are subject to tremendous stress, tremendous work pressure within the career environment. So they call it career problem. Then when you commit certain wrong thing, criminal breach within the career field, you can actually become afflicted too. When it become a police case, it can be very serious. So because of all this, the Buddha said, you need to develop a form of wisdom that allow you to free your mind from all this. So our meditation actually can bring about this understanding. So like I already explained just now, you must meditate with understanding. Understanding means you must know why are you not peaceful, why you must train your mind to develop the ability to become peaceful. So the key to mindfulness is, the Buddha said, you only need to train yourself to have one very important quality of mind. He said it is heedfulness. You must be heedful. Then to be heedful, there are two parts to it. You must be ever mindful before you can become heedful. So heedfulness is not only mindfulness. When you are mindful, it's only one part of heedfulness. When you are already trained, your mind, already very mindful, and you use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the Four Noble Truths, focusing on the Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path is the real meditation, because the Buddha proclaimed, he said, there is this Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is the one that we are keen on. So heedfulness is a combination of a mind that is trained in mindfulness to develop this meditation, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, all his teachings are there. The four foundations of mindfulness, the right view, leading to all the spiritual understanding of the laws that governs life and existence. The most important one is the law of karma. Then the law of the mind, how your mind functions. Then there is this, the last one is called Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma Niyama is all of the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught you, all of the truth that explain the reality of life and existence. So these are the key aspects of meditation that we need to familiarize ourselves with, so that when we do it with understanding, you can progress very fast. You will not become like normal people, do without understanding. Okay, with that, maybe I will go into the meditation techniques and whatever that can prepare you to train your mind so that you can develop this meditation. The mind that is heedless, like I explained, think a lot, because the hindrances are very strong, very powerful. So the five hindrances I explained a little bit, just now I didn't explain. The first two, the Buddha called it sensual desire and ill will. Sensual desire, like the word denote, is the desire of your senses. Every time you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, your sense, the whole consciousness, actually lure you. So if it's something you like, you develop the craving for the desire of the sense experience. When you do that, what happens? Your mind is preoccupied with that sense experience. It is no longer silent, no longer aware within the moment to understand what is going on. So they say your mind is lost in thought, preoccupied with that thinking, that sense experience. Then you are busy reacting, clinging, grasping, commenting and all those things. That's how your mind gets distracted. No more clarity, no more awareness, no more mindful of the moment. Similarly, ill will is the opposite sense experience. Things that you don't like, that you want to push away, it becomes your dislike. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's why sensual desire and ill will, throughout the day, you manifest almost every instant of your daily life. Whenever you arise a sense experience, even in your thinking, thought process, you react a lot. And these two are very, very powerful, and they become habitual tendency. That's why you think a lot. You worry a lot. You become very heedless because of these two. And the result of these two is the fourth one, the fourth hindrance. The Buddha said your mind becomes restless, understand not? Agitated, not peaceful. And most of the time, it has this problem also, not due to your sensual desire and ill will also only. It is due to your problems in life. When you have certain problem that you cannot resolve, what happened to you? You start to worry, right? Then worry bring about what? Anxiety and fear. Understand? So worry, anxiety and fear will make you restless. Understand? Your mind is not peaceful, agitated. This is a hindrance, the Buddha said. That's why you cannot meditate. The last one is doubt. When you're not sure of the teaching, you're not sure of what is the right thing to do, what are the nature's law that governs all of life and existence, that doubt actually creates a problem for you. You lack confidence, understand? When you lack confidence, you cannot do things well, you cannot understand things clearly. So doubt is a very serious hindrance too. The third one is sloth and torpor, or sleepiness of mind, the Buddha said. When you don't understand the importance of meditation, you come, you try to do, you become sleepy. Most people initially become sleepy because you don't see the importance of meditation. You don't understand the importance of it. It's like you attend a school or a class. If the teacher teaches a subject that is so boring because you don't see the importance, you will be very sleepy. But if that subject interests you and you have a lot of love and passion for it, you will be wide awake. Understand? It's the same. So that's why you must train your mind to have the opposite five spiritual faculty. That's why we start with sadha. Sadha, which is confident or faith in the Buddha and his teaching. And when you have this confidence, your doubt is reduced. Understand? Then your mind becomes more composed and more calm. Then through understanding how wise the Buddha is and how special his teaching is, you determine to walk the path. That's how you get your spiritual faculty of virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal, a type of energy inside your heart that drives you to meditate. When you have virya, you will not be sleepy. Understand? Then when you pay respect mindfully to the Buddha, when you are mindful means you are silent and aware. You are not restless. Your mind does not think. That's why we train our mind to be mindful. We need to decondition this series of heedless habitual thinking so that we are peaceful. So I will teach you some techniques that will enable you to do that. We call it the mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness and metta. All these are explained in the notes. You just listen attentively. Take in whatever you can. Don't try to keep notes. Okay? As you develop the understanding, you will be able to progress very well. You go back only, read through the notes. That's why you must spend some time reflecting and contemplating on the Dhamma, the teaching that is been taught by the Buddha. That will give rise to another type of wisdom. He called it Chintamaya Panya, the second turning wisdom. So, okay, now I will off the light. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you can start to develop your meditation. For those who are new, who may need instruction. I will share the instruction with you all. Later on only, I will read to you some of the passages from this email compilation notes. So now, in order to prepare yourself, to train your mind, to decondition your heedless thinking, you just relax body and mind. Completely relax. Physically and mentally relax means you let go of everything. No need to worry about anything. Just let things be. Don't hold on to anything. Free your mind. Free your mind. Then learn to have a stable posture. Make sure your leg, if you can sit cross-legged, you sit. If you cannot, you can lean against a wall, stretch your leg out, or sit on a couch or a chair. Any posture that can stabilize you to develop this meditation, you can use it. The posture are not critical. It is how your body can become peaceful, silent, to train your mind to have this quality of mindfulness so that you can use it to meditate. That is more important. Okay. This body, as we all understand, it is made up of four elements. There is no knowing. So it is not really you. But the mind, the consciousness that is trapped inside, can actually make this physical body relax. Understand? That's why when I teach you the mind sweeping method, it is using the mind to relax the physical body. Then when the physical body is relaxed, the mind settles down. So it is actually symbiosis. It helps both. So now you close your eye, make sure your backbone is straight. Then just relax, every part of your body relax. Like when you are very tired, just relax. Then you feel, don't think, feel. Maintain attention, feel your forehead, feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax it. Relax, relax, and relax every strand of the muscle in the forehead. Then after that, you move on to your facial, your eye muscle. Feel it. Normally after a tired day, you are quite tired. Your eye is quite tired. There is a lot of stress within your ciliary muscle. So you just feel. Make sure these eye muscles are all relaxed. Relax, relax, and relax. Then after that, you bring your awareness or attention down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Normally, after a stressful day, a tired day, your facial muscles are quite tense, not relaxed. So you have to feel it, then you relax them. Feel it soothingly, relax, every strand of it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. If you still got problem, then you can use another skillful means. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Learn to smile. If you can smile in meditation, there is joy, there is happiness, then you are less tense. So learn to smile, radiate a radiant smile. Visualize yourself radiantly smiling. Then naturally you will be relaxed, because a person with joy is relaxed. It's only when you are tense up, you cannot even smile. So the radiant smile can help you a lot. Then after that, you combine with loving kindness, metta, to help you develop this very strong metta force, or what they call loving kindness force. It's called universal love. You just silence your mind. Then you radiate following the instruction. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness of your body and mind, your entire being, when you do that. Do not just repeat like a parrot. Parroting does not help. You must use your feeling, your entire feeling of love and metta. Means you really want to radiate well-being and happiness to your entire body and mind, your entire being. So you repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, you feel your body and mind, be well and happy. As you say well, feel the well-being of all the cells within your former and the mind. And happy, feel them well-being with happiness. So this is how metta can help you develop this very strong mind state of peace and calm. So after that, you can continue. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You feel yourself physically and mentally free of all suffering, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more fear, no more sadness, no more unhappiness. There is just love, there is just joy. Because you are here to meditate, forget about all your so-called problems. You just radiate metta. Then after that, you continue to radiate the well-being within your own mind. May this mind of mine though be free from all enmity, free from all anger, emotional negativity and fear. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta or loving kindness to your loved ones, somebody that you love dearly. It could be your children, your spouse, your parents, or somebody that is very close to you. May my loved ones too be well and happy. Radiate this well-being and happiness from your heart to them. If you need to visualize them, you can visualize them. Then after that, you can radiate the same metta. May my loved ones too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all danger and harm. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all enmity, ill will, and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all your Dhamma friends and co-meditator and cultivator, may they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be well and happy always, well and happy always. May no harm come to them. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can radiate to all the other beings. May all beings within the entire of Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, planet Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, then our entire universe. May all beings within the entire existence of this universe to be well and happy, well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all danger, and may their mind and body to be without suffering. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Just continue to relax every part of your facial muscle. Then you feel your neck, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Relax every part. Just feel and relax. Don't think. Then after that, you move your attention or your awareness down to your heart area. And this is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arise and pass away. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your life force arise and pass away. You just silence your mind and just feel. If you can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, then you just silence and stay there. For those who are new, if you are not so sensitive, you don't have the mindfulness as yet, you can just feel like you feel your forehead, then relax every part within your heart and chest area. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Do the same. Feel, relax. Don't think. Feel, relax. Then you move down to your abdomen. Again, feel, relax. Then you feel your buttock. Feel your leg. Relax every part. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method to develop the calmness of mind. Do the same. Feel your leg, your buttock, relax every part. Then you feel your abdomen, relax every part. Feel your stomach, relax every part. Then feel your heart, silent there. feel it. Relax, relax, relax. Then back to shoulder, hand, shoulder, neck. Relax every part. Then facial muscle. Do the same. Relax every part. Eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Yeah. So the heedless thinking should be less. You should be more tranquil in your mind state. So now you silent everything. Completely silent. Then you train your mind to stabilize this mindfulness that you have already developed to a certain extent. The Buddha called it Anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of in and out breath. The in and out breath is a type of skillful means that will train your mind to be stabilized. You can stabilize your Anapanasati to develop a very stable mindfulness of your in and out breath so that sati can be established, sati can be stabilized within your meditation. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Just maintain attention in front of your nostril, silent everything. Just feel. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Yeah. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Means the breath and the mind move as one. Then breathing out, you are aware. Just like you feel your forehead, you feel your breath. So when you feel, you don't think. You are one. Mind and the breathing move as one. And that is Anapanasati. Mindfulness of in and out breath. You just train your mind to do that. Yeah. Initially, expect this mind to wander off if you are not skillful yet. You have not developed the training yet. So every time it wanders off, just bring it back patiently. Do not struggle, do not react, just silence your mind and with awareness just bring it back. Expect it to wander off many, many times. Sometimes they used to say it can be up to a million times. So for you it's still very little. So you continue to actually develop the patience to train this mind in Anapanasati. After a while, this mind will listen to you. It will stabilize. The awareness of this in and out breath will stabilize and develop on its own. Anapanasati will set into motion on its own. When this happens, you will experience a type of calmness that will come. And it's a byproduct of meditation. The Buddha called it piti. Piti is a what they call meditative peace or meditative joy. Some people call it a rapture. It is a peaceful type of experience. The mind that is without thought and mindful is very peaceful because it is silent and just aware within, just mindful. When you can develop this Anapanasati until it becomes stable, then this piti will develop until it becomes very, very calm. Then it can even enter absorption until you become absorbed into it. Then you continue to relax more and more, more and more. Then this piti will become sukha. Sukha is a type of bliss, a very blissful state of mind, born of extreme calmness, very, very blissful. So when you experience this, your mind state become very different. There's a lot of joy and you like to meditate. Then as you continue to relax more and more, even this piti will change. Then the mind become quiet, tranquil, very, very still. When you are able to do that, your mind is already trained. This is what they call pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind that is fully aware within. You need to train your mind until this quality evolves. until this mind, the silent mind, in tranquility and stillness arise. Then you silent everything. Then you just feel. By then your breath would have become very subtle, like no more breathing, very little breathing. Initially when pity arises, it is like a long breath. The breath becomes very long. When you enter absorption, it becomes longer. Then when you arise, the sukha is even more fine and more calm. But the long breath will slowly, slowly transform until it becomes so subtle, so peaceful, so quiet and so still. Then there is little or no breathing. So that state, if you can develop, it will be very good. That is the meditative state that can understand a lot of things. You can use that mind to meditate. Then it becomes heedfulness. From mindfulness, it becomes heedfulness. Okay, I'll leave it to you to continue the meditation. I will ring the bell in about maybe 15 to 20 minutes time. Then after that, we can have our second session. So in the meantime, you just continue to train this mind. For those who already know how to develop the silent mind, you just silent everything and stay at the heart. If you cannot stay at the heart, then you can stay at the breathing too. Because your breathing, although very subtle, it will come back to you because of the refined mindfulness. From pasati, the mind will enter sati on its own. And when the mind is in sati, it can be mindful of any subtle movement. So even the very subtle breathing, or it can be mindful of. Then wherever you put your mind, it can be mindful there. And that mindfulness is very different. It is the pure awareness that is aware. Then you stay at the heart. This is where the mind base is. All of your six senses, when they arise from the mind base, it go to your sense base. So if you can stay in the heart, you will be aware of all your sense or consciousness activity. Then you will be able to develop what they call the vipassana of it, which is you can see very clearly how your mind actually get distracted, get stirred and conditioned into various reactive mode and emotion of fear, worry, anxiety or whatever. All because of your wrong view, sakaya ditti. If you don't have a wrong view, if you don't have what they call wrong perception of things, if you have wisdom, your mind will not stir. Your mind will be in equanimity. It will have this ability to be silent, aware. Okay, I'll leave it to you all to meditate. Then I will ring the bell later. founders who still want to meditate, you can still continue. For those who have it now, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Some also, on all the light, on all the light, on all the light. Thank you. Always try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. If you have trained your mind, the inner awareness will develop the inner peace. And this is a very quiet mind, a silent mind. The mind that is trained, listen to you. You want it to be silent, it will just be silent. Then it's peaceful. You want it to arise, then it will arise. It's only after you have trained this mind to be aware and mindful to a certain stability, then only you can really make use of this mind to serve you, to develop the understanding of meditation in daily life. And meditation in daily life is the accumulation of your cultivation. What you do here is formal meditation, where you train your mind to be mindful, to be aware. Then use it to meditate, to understand what is going on. But what you do here is in a formal posture. You are not active in life. Understand not? Because you are not active in life, it doesn't serve you much. It may bring forth very good experience, meditative calm and peace. You can become like very peaceful, very calm, very blissful, very silent, still, and aware. You can see the big difference between your daily agitated mind and the trained mind. The trained mind listens to you. The trained mind is silent, peaceful, and aware within. Whereas the untrained mind is heedless, thinks a lot, worries a lot, very restless, lashes on to things, very emotional. This type of mind, the Buddha said, lacks heedfulness. It's heedless. Because it's heedless, the Buddha said, these people, they never live life. They don't have the true understanding of what life is. The spiritual path will not be there. That's why the Buddha, under the famous Dhammapada verse 21, he stated very clearly, he said, your mind is very important, is it? Either you train it or you remain heedless. So he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So here the meaning is very deep. If you don't train your mind, this mind will become heedless. And you are as if dead means spiritually dead. There is no spiritual life. You can be alive, conscious of life, but you never live. That's why they say you existed through life. For true living, you must have heedfulness and awareness within to understand what is going on in life, so that you can learn from life itself, so that you can see very clearly how living beings become entangled with life, how they condition, allow their mind to be conditioned into negativity, and how all of the suffering state arise. All of your fear, all your worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow and lamentation and unhappiness come from the mind that don't understand, that is heedless. A mind that is heedful, that has the understanding and wisdom, does not do that. Because it has the wisdom to choose to be happy, to be peaceful, not to be heedless anymore. So if you're really serious about life, you want to make a difference to your life, the Buddha's advice is you train your mind to become heedful, so that it will not get itself entangled with all the delusion that is associated with a heedless mind. So coming back to the cultivation, the form of meditation is to develop the training of the mind to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. In the form of meditation, you can't do much. Unless you become very skillful, then you can develop your walking in a retreat condition or what. Then while you move around, the four posture. That's why finally you still need the four posture combined with the daily mindfulness. They call sati sampajana. Means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment. Your mind must be always in the present moment of awareness. Then there is clarity. Then you are not lost in thought. There is nothing to distract you. You are not preoccupied with your thinking. When you start to think, your mind is clouded by the thought. Then it's distracted. That's how you get yourself preoccupied with the thinking. When you do that, your mind can no longer be aware. So heedfulness or mindfulness is the opposite. If you are not thinking, the moment you are silent, you are already aware. You don't have to train yourself to be aware technically, understand? But because of the five mental hindrance, because of living beings' heedless habitual tendency, throughout the day you have been habitually creating this type of heedless thinking mind. That's why it cannot become quiet and still. So because of that, you need to decondition it. That's how all the method and technique and skillful means come about, to train this mind. Actually, when you have the wisdom and the understanding, the mind need not be trained. You only need to be silent. It is already peaceful. It is already aware, mindful, silent within. But you cannot do that because of the heedless thinking, because of the habitual tendency. So when this mind is already so habitual, doing this type of thing almost day in and day out, you need to actually decondition it. Through what? Through breaking the momentum for thinking. That's why you need to be aware, silent, aware. So you use the mind sweeping method to feel. When you feel, you don't think, understand now? Then the momentum is lost, the thinking momentum is lost. Then you have to allow the mind to do something, otherwise you wander off, understand now? That's why I said you feel. Feeling is very near the awareness. But when you just feel, then any tightness, stress, or what they call, whatever tightness or stress within, you just relax, relax, and relax. So it will allow your body to just relax. And when your body is relaxed, your mind become peaceful. That's why it's a symbiosis. It helps each other. The other advantage of this mind sweeping method is it train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Asana. You want it to be at the forehead, it will stay there. You want it to be at the heart, it will stay there. You want it to be anywhere in your body, it will stay there. Then later on, you want it to be anywhere outside to experience whatever phenomena, it will stay there. Understand? It can be at the moment of sense experience, at the moment of perception, at the moment of sense experience, at the moment of activity of mind, at the moment of feeling. Because mind can only do one thing at a time, but it is very fast. So when you are able to train this mind to develop this silent inner awareness, then this mind becomes very different, very useful. It has the quality of a meditative mind that can understand a lot of things, and it becomes very, very useful. Then you can use this mind to live life, to develop the wisdom and the understanding that you need to cope with all the various, what they call, intricacy and challenges of life. As we have gone through life, many of us, you know, at times, situation in real life can be pretty traumatic and harsh. So without wisdom, without understanding, born of the Buddha's teaching, it's not easy to cope with life. So this is a very important understanding. If you want to really, really free your mind, liberate your mind, this is the teaching that can bring about the awakening or the transformation in you. Okay, with that, maybe I should open up for the second session. Second session is Q&A, question and answer. You can report your meditation, and then you can ask me whatever question that you want to ask with regards to the meditation, the teachings that the Buddha has taught you, and how you can apply what you have learned here together with the teaching to help you understand life, to help you solve all of your life problems and situations. Okay, anybody wants to report his or her meditation? Now we open up. Anybody? What about those who are new? Can you all meditate? No, cannot. What happened? Maybe Brother Kui, pain. So that is the first thing you experience, okay? Then, think a lot. Yes. Oh, okay, very good question. When you try to sit, what happened to your mind? What happened to your mind? Just now, what happened? You just described. Yes, sleepy. See? Hindrance. Pain is aversion, ill will. All these are hindrance of mind. Even in the meditation, you experience them. That's why you are not peaceful. But if these hindrances are not there, you have piti, sukha, bliss, peace. That's why when your mind has hindrance, you cannot be peaceful. So your question is very good. How to do the breathing? Actually, breathing you don't need to do because you are born with the skill to breathe. Otherwise, we cannot live until today. So you just allow this breath to go on naturally. Don't try to force it. Don't try to resist it. Don't try to do anything about it. You just silence your mind and feel. Like you feel your forehead. You feel the nostril there. Then you can detect this breathing in there. The breathing that is going in and out, you can detect it in there. The moment you detect it, the Buddha said, breathing in, your mind move with it in harmony. You are aware. That's why breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Mind and phenomena as one. The phenomena is the breath. So your mind and the breath as one. Initially, you just do that. But your thought will come. Split second, you are not with your breath ready. Either you doze off or you think, all this mind just wander off. So it's very normal. That's why the four important instruction there, you see on the extreme right. Relax body and mind. If you want to meditate, your body and mind must be in harmony. Both must be in the relaxed state. If you have problem, you will have stress. When you have stress, body not relaxed, your mind is not peaceful. When a person has stress, means what? He has problem, he has worry, he has anxiety. Otherwise, no stress, happy and peaceful. So, body and mind relax means you can tell your mind whatever problem you have, please allow you to have the space to meditate for the next 40 minutes or so. Any problem, I will deal with it later. Then, if the thought comes, you say, not now, please. And then, it will not disturb you. You can talk to your thought actually. But if you allow it to distract you, then it will create a lot of story for you. The storyline is unending because you have been dreaming, daydreaming. Throughout the day, I tell you, you think a lot. It's only that you are not aware of what is going on. That's why a human being's problem is they cannot understand this mind. That's why they don't know how to use it to live. I always tell people, if you don't believe, you go and check. Human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they never leave. Understand? You think a lot, you plan a lot, you worry a lot. Understand? Most people do that. So unless you have developed this understanding and you have trained your mind seriously, this habitual thinking or heedless thinking will continue. So coming back to the instruction, relax body and mind, then you just aware and feel around the nostril. This is the second instruction. Can you follow? Because you asked about breathing, right? So second instruction is after you relax body and mind, you aware and just feel around the nostril. Understand? Like you feel your forehead. Then you detect the breathing. Understand? You are aware of it, means you detect already. You don't go and think of the breath. Understand? You're just silent. The moment you're silent, you can be aware of the attention of it, the awareness of it, before the knowing, no thought. When you are aware, then this awareness will be there. But because you have not trained. So what I wrote on the third one is, expect the mind to wander off at least a million times. But every time it wanders off, bring it back to the breath. The fourth one is patient. Bring it back. Keep on bringing it back. It's just like riding a bicycle. Keep on falling, no problem. As long as you try, persevere. One day you get the balance. Understand? And I can tell you, anapanasati is easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. Because when you ride a bicycle, you fall. And you get hurt many times. This one, you don't fall. You just doze off, wander off. Then you just bring it back. Understand? You only need to develop the patience to do it. Through an understanding that this is something important. Not something that is boring. Understand? If you perceive it with the wrong attitude, you call it boring, then you will be sleepy, I tell you. Because you don't see the importance of this training. You don't see the importance of heedfulness or awareness leading to heedfulness. Without heedfulness, the Buddha said you are as if dead. Understand? Spiritually dead. Means you cannot free from birth and death. You will continue to come back. And wherever there is birth, there is old age, sickness and death. There is suffering. So if you want to continue to be in the, what they call, wheel of life, samsara, cycle of birth and death, that is your choice. Otherwise, you should determine to actually liberate your mind as soon as possible. So this simple instruction are very useful. Relax body and mind. Aware and just feel around the nostril. Then the breath and the mind move as one. Okay? Expect it to wander off because you have not trained. But the moment you get it right, it stabilized, you become so different. Your breathing becomes so soothing. Understand? Everything becomes like so natural. Then the long breath will come in. Then because you don't think, for the first time in your life, you experience this pity. You will like it. It's a spiritual joy, really, full of joy when you are in that state. Especially first time you got it, I remember during the early days. There was so much joy in meditation. Pity leading to sukha. Sukha is so blissful. And that bliss is really bliss, you know. You must experience it. I cannot explain to you how. It's really very blissful. They call it one. It's so blissful. Like so much joy and so much happiness. It's like tingling inside. The tingling sensation. Like the extreme bliss inside there. You feel so blissful inside. But these are byproduct of meditation only. This is not the ultimate aim of meditation. But meditation has these benefits. The mind that is peaceful is very useful. Especially for people who are subject to a lot of work, a lot of stress, a lot of problem in life. In time of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, sadness, and have problem that you cannot resolve. You find that to have a moment of peace is so difficult, Karana. You try to calm down, you try to become peaceful, but you cannot do it. And the agony that comes with it, sleepless night, insomnia, that is the worst. So if you have trained your mind, even the byproduct of meditation, the inner peace and inner well-being is so useful. It can help you so much. So in time of restlessness, worry, anxiety, fear, you can just go to a quiet place, sit down and just meditate and calm yourself down. Then when you can do that, the inner peace and inner well-being will make you very good, very peaceful. Then that clarity will make you sober again, Adasana, so that you can make better decisions during those times. Otherwise, you make all the harsh and wrong decisions. And life can be very difficult without this ability to be peaceful, to be calm. That's why a lot of people resort to smoking, Anasana. You know what is smoking, Anasana? It's in a way like anapanasati, you know. You draw the smoke. You know, smoker, they are very mindful of the smoke going in and out, you know. And they are very skillful. They can create shape also. But nicotine is involved, understand? It's drug-induced. But they feel very calm, understand? A lot of people who got anxiety and what they call not able to calm themselves down, they will pick up the cigarette, understand? After they smoke, they feel good, understand? Peaceful. But this one, you are dependent on nicotine, understand? And it has its effect on you too. Because when you become dependent, it's like a drug, understand? You can become addicted. But if you can train yourself in meditation, it is easier. You're only aware of the breathing. You don't need the cigarette smoke to make you aware, understand? To calm yourself down. Actually, what makes them peaceful is they are mindful of that smoke, understand? And the smoke that goes in, understand? Make them feel good, understand? That's why they settle down. They become peaceful. And it becomes hope. So, cigarette can be one of the things. But cigarette has its advantages and disadvantages. If you are not careful, lung cancer and all those things. Those who drink are worse. You know why they drink? They just want to drown their sorrow so that they forget about the problem. But when they wake up the next day, the problem is still there. Understand? So all these are short-term, not really a solution, I call it. Short-term, what they call habits that people develop because they got no other way to free. So meditation has its benefit if you know how to do it, if you know how to train your mind and develop it. So this is what they call a very skillful means of developing this inner peace, leading to inner well-being and clarity of mind that can allow you to become more wise. You can develop wisdom out of this mind that is already trained. And it can help you so much. It can bring about tremendous benefits. Then a person who has the Dhamma, means after you meditate, you insight into the characteristics of nature, you understand the truth, you understand the law that governs life and existence, you know the secret of life, then you know how to live life. That part is very interesting too. The first thing that you will come to understand is the law of karma. The second one is how you function as a human being, how your mind arises and passes away, how it conditions things to arise, how you stir your mind, and how the six sense bases together with the consciousness upon contact allow you to become conscious of the world. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So consciousness is the tool for you to experience all of life. And if you know how to use it, you can live life beautifully, meaningfully. But if you don't understand, then it is a double-edged sword. If you use thought without wisdom, thought becomes evil. If you use thought with understanding and wisdom, then thought becomes wholesome. That's why the Buddha's teaching centered on the Noble Eightfold Path. The first path factor is right view. Right view is right understanding of this law that governs life and existence, so that you like understand the secret of life, then you know how to live. Yeah. So to the Buddha, he said, this teaching is very simple if you understand. Law of karma is like that, he said. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. Each and every one of us, we are born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So karma plays such a great role in your life. So if you don't train your mind to take care of karma, you will end up miserable. Yeah. So when you train your mind, this mind will become heedful. When it's heedful, it can actually understand what is going on. Then you can use it to be mindful of all of your mental intention behind all your actions, speech, and thought. This is how you avoid all evil. The evil things, the evil mental intention, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Greed, the meaning is very deep. All of your selfishness, greed, all your craving, desire, and lust, possessiveness, covetousness, they are all greed. Then envy and jealousy is part of ill will, the evil roots. All of your dislike, your unpleasant sense experience, they are part of the evil roots of ill will too. Then delusion is your fear. All of your fear and all of your emotional negativity and selfishness, they are born of delusion. So the Buddha said, if you have trained your mind and you understand and understood the basis of how you function as a human being, then at least you can take care of your karma. Understand? When you take care of your karma, karma take care of your life. So when you have that right view, the Buddha advice come about. The Buddha said, in order to take care of your karma, very simple, you only need to avoid all evil, do good, then you take care of your karma. Understand? So avoiding all evil need mindfulness and heedfulness. Otherwise, you cannot do it. So how do you do that? That's why we need to train our mind in meditation. And when we train, we are aware of our mental intention behind. So the Buddha prescribed the five precepts. Just now we just chant, renew the five precepts. These precepts are very important. If you analyze the precept, only evil people violate these precepts. Take for example the first precept. Panatipata viramani sikapadang samadhiyami. The meaning is, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. So we ask ourselves some question. What type of person will do that? Kill and harm. What type of person? Very easy, isn't it? What type of person? Who will kill and harm? Selfish people, violent, angry people, deluded people, all the evil roots are there. That's why you don't keep your precept, you will commit evil. Then law of karma is, you are born of it, had it, conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. So you reap what you sow. You do evil to people, you kill and harm. In future, when there is condition, people will kill and harm you back. Understand? No? That's why your suffering comes about not by chance. You can never blame anybody. How come I'm so sweet? Why is the world so unfair? Why God like that? You think only you are fair. But when you understand the nature's law, it is all very, very natural. There are causes and conditions behind. Whatever you do, whether it's in the past or what, it will condition you. That's why he said you are born of karma, head of your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So karma is most important. Having this right view, you will know how to cultivate, how to live your life. And Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 actually explain very clearly how you can be happy and how you can become miserable. It's a twin verse. The Buddha said, your mind is the forerunner of all things, my chief. When you arise your mind, everything comes to be. So if you don't take care of mind, if you don't train this mind to be heedful, then he said you will follow Dhammapada verse 1. You will act, speak and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Such a being, is it? Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hood. Means, don't blame anybody for your misery and your suffering, because you are heedless. Whereas the complementary verse 2 is the opposite. He said, if you understand the importance of mind, because mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So you determine to train your mind to be ever mindful, to be heedful. And then you will act, speak and think with a pure mind, a wholesome mind, that is free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Such a being, is it, happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So your life is very, very critical. You have to really, really decide what you want. If you choose to be miserable, then no need to train, continue to be heedless and live your life the way you used to. But if you determine to make a difference to your life, then you better train your mind to be heedful so that happiness can follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So this part, the Buddha said, he leave it to the living beings. Like I always said, we, each and every one of us, we hold a key to our own life destiny. Correct or not? You decide your life there. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. Correct or not? So why can't you just choose to be happy and peaceful? Do you mean human beings don't know how to choose? Why is this world still got so much suffering and misery? It's not because they don't know how to choose. It's because they don't have this understanding, this teaching, this Dhamma. If you have this teaching, nobody will choose to become miserable, I tell you. But because people don't have this understanding and this teaching, they become heedless. They don't know what is going on in their life. They don't even understand who they are, what they are, and how they function as a human being, how their mind operates. They are totally deluded. That's why the heedlessness come about. So this aspect will teach you one very important understanding of life. There is always a choice as to how you want to live your life. And the choice is entirely yours to make. Okay, now I will go a little bit into the notes so that it can benefit you all more. The title of the book is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, a compilation of email written by me to various Buddhist groups and Dhamma friends. It's given as free distribution. And we actually did it in 2007, yeah, 14th of May. Yeah. That was nearly 6 years ago. Huh? Here, under the first page, you have the content page. Yeah? This content page is very useful. I read to you. Huh? There is an introduction. So this introduction will be followed by the acknowledgement. Then words of wisdom by Lord Buddha. These are all the Dhammapada words. 1, 2, 21, 22, 23, and his final exhortation before his parinibbana. They are all there. Then the first email is the handful of leaf that talks about the Four Noble Truths. Then the second email is, what is meditation, part 1. The third email is, what is meditation, part 2. The fourth email is, three turnings of the Four Noble Truths to develop the three types of corresponding wisdom. Then email number 5 is what I said, the instructions are all here. Loving kindness, metta, and vipassana meditation for beginner. Even it said for beginner, but even if you are quite advanced, you will find it useful if you know how to read. Then, email number 6 explain to you what is breath-centered meditation, anapanasati, and the four posture meditation. Then the email number 7 is how to develop calm and insight. Okay. So I read to you the introduction. Quickly we run over. It is Brother Teo's hope that Dhamma or spiritual practitioner, seekers, friends and meditator will be able to make use of these enclosed short notes or email to develop a better and true understanding of the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble and wiser human beings to benefit others. Thank you. Then summary of content, handful of leaf, the first email. First email dated 22nd August 2006 was written to a United States-based Buddhist group. And it talked about the handful of leaf as emphasized by the Buddha at Kosambi in the Simsapa group over 2,500 years ago. It also stressed on the importance of the Four Noble Truths, which is the handful of leaf as taught by the Buddha. Then what is meditation, part 1? This email was also written in 2006 and was written as a reply to an inquiry on meditation. It explained the importance of knowing what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then part 2 is the third email. It was written to some Dhamma practitioner from the United States-based Buddhist group website, and it stressed on the importance of avoiding meditation questions that leads to doubt. We are not knowing or understanding what is meditation. The final summary of the First Noble Truth and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths were introduced as topic for contemplation and reflection. Okay. Then the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, you read through, they are all there. Then metta and vipassana. This one I want to share with you all because this one is important for you all. This fifth email was written to a Dhamma friend, one of the sisters who wanted to learn how to develop the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha, to help her develop the faith, the inner peace and wisdom to live life happily, peacefully and nobly, so that finally freedom from suffering or unhappiness is possible. This email gives simple but very direct and much focused instruction for beginners to develop both vipassana or insight and metta or loving kindness meditation. So I go to this fifth email so that you all can actually benefit from it. Okay, this one is very useful. Dear sister, really nice to hear from you again. and really glad to know that you have developed the right understanding and self-confidence to cope with your present situation. Yes, you are right. One need to be mentally very strong and calm to deal with such situation, and it is not easy for most people who normally lack faith, understanding and support. This lady actually got breast cancer, very serious, and she turned around and recovered. But later on, because of complacency, I think somehow relapse happened. Then, by then, she already knew what the Dhamma is. She already no more fear, willing to accept whatever. Then she told me a lot of things. But I will just read this email. This is one of the emails that I wrote to her. I asked her, how is your metta or loving kindness meditation progressing? Are you able to do it? And this sister Kim is her good friend. Last time I learned meditation under me. Then she brought her to see me. That's how I came to know her. Pass you the 2 thin metta book, metta meditation book, photocell copy. These are very good book and easy to understand. And I had used them before during the early years of my cultivation. You listen. Metta or loving kindness is best rendered as spiritual love or universal love. Metta, when properly cultivated and well developed, is a consuming flame that purifies all mental defilements. And the result is the acquisition of a tremendous healing power which brings about well-being and cure via the tremendous positive energy developed. Metta is also a very powerful meditation therapy with psychiatric applicability to greatly improve mental and physical health by overcoming one's own fear, anxiety, worry, sorrow, lamentation, pain and unhappiness. We are developing an atmosphere of love and happiness leading to the peace and tranquility of mind. The Buddha said the practice of metta brings to perfection all of the good state of mind, beginning with charity or giving, leading to well-being. You know why metta is a type of charity? Do you know why or not? You think give money only charity, When you read it, love and metta, is generosity, you give love, understand? When you radiate to people, you give. This giving is very powerful, it's from the mind. So, beginning with giving or charity, leading to well-being and happiness of all living beings, and the fulfillment of the 10 perfection of paramitas, finally, because this metta is one of the 10 perfection. It is an easy and simple way to develop tranquility, wisdom and compassion, the ultimate goal of all spiritual cultivators. I will describe to you the metta meditation as given in one of the two books. So the instruction is very simple. You can follow this. It will help you a lot. Sit down in a comfortable and relaxed posture. Keep your eyes closed in a quiet place. It can be a shrine, a room, a park, or any suitable place of silence. Repeat the word metta, metta, metta a few times and mentally conjure up its significance or importance. Metta or love being the opposite of hatred, resentment, impatience, pride, arrogance, etc. So all this negative state is none of the metta. So metta is the opposite of all this. So it's a very beautiful mental state. So if you got hatred, resentment, impatience, pride and arrogance, you can only overcome them by thinking of the direct opposite wholesome state, which is metta, love. So you use it to counter all of your anger, your hatred, your jealousy, your fear, your unhappiness. Understand? That's why metta is a very powerful force. So love being the opposite of hatred, resentment, impatience, pride, arrogance, etc. And as a profound feeling of goodwill, sympathy, kindness. Now, all this you will feel very good on when you reflect on it. Because it's a profound feeling of goodwill, wishing people well and happy. Sympathy towards people. A lot of kindness to wish people well and happy. Promoting the happiness and well-being of others. Then now visualize your own face in a happy and radiant mood. Every time you look yourself in the mirror, see yourself in a happy and radiant mood, and conjure yourself into this mode during meditation. A person in a happy mood cannot be unhappy or harbor negative thoughts and feelings. Having visualized yourself in a happy frame, now charge yourself with the thought, may I be well and happy, feeling the well-being and happiness within your heart. And be friendly and loving towards all, not harboring any dislike, prejudice or antipathy towards anyone. Wishing everyone well and promoting everybody's joy and happiness or will. Whomsoever I look, this is very important. You can make this into your practice in daily life. Your metta will be very strong, I still remember the early day. Whomsoever I look at, may I look with the eyes of love. Can you do that? Even your enemy, love them. Even the plant, love them. Anything that you come into visual contact, love them. And your metta will really flow. Then whomsoever I speak, may I speak with the words of love. Understand not? No more wrong speech. No more hurting speech. Understand not? No more of those deceitful lying, backbiting or something. So this is very important. Whomsoever I speak to, may I speak with the words of love. There's only love, understand? Love got no opposite, understand? Love is only love. If there is jealousy, envy, and hatred, there is no more love, understand? That's why metta is very powerful. Then whomsoever I think, about what should you do? What should you do? I already give you the first two hints. This one is think. Just now is see and speak to. So see, you see with the eye of love. Okay? Speak with the words of love. Thinking? Think with what? Give you a hint. May I be imbued with the thought of love, understand? In this way, as the cultivator suffuses himself or herself with the positive thought force of love or metta, he becomes like a filled vessel. Its content ready to overflow in all directions. Then only you radiate metta, he said. So this part is very useful. I remember last time, the earliest, 30, 40 years ago, when I did this metta, there was so much metta inside. And you really, like he said, feel to the brim, overflowing out. That's why you can read it out. Then now visualize your loved ones. See them or her in a happy frame of mind and project that thought of love. May my loved ones to be well and happy, healthy, without enmity, ill will, and untrouble. And may he or she to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. This thought force of metta, if properly radiated, can be very powerful. Then think of your other loved ones, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your elders, friends, colleagues, etc., even your neighbor and your in-law, and radiate to each of them the thought of metta intensely and in the manner described already. The visualization must be clear and the thought radiation must be willed well. It must be noted that to think of metta is one thing, and to radiate metta, that is actively projecting the will force of metta from your heart is quite another. Okay. Next one is the neutral person. You can visualize a neutral person, your neighbor, etc., and have this metta related to those in the neutral circle. One should visualize the person for whom one has dislike or hostility to, and radiate this same metta to them and wish them well-being and happiness too. Learn to forgive and forget. For when you forgive someone, you free yourself, because you got no more this evil root of anger and hatred and dislike. So when you forgive, you root out your evil roots. Just forgive them all and radiate metta to them, and this will calm down your mind and make you feel a lot better. Those who have experienced great anger and hatred towards somebody, and finally you forgive them, you know how you feel or not. There was such great relief in your own mind. Especially your own parents. I can tell you, in this world, a lot of people, when they are young, they don't understand. They hate their parents like anything. Then towards the end, they regret. Then when they can make up and say, I am sorry, and I forgive you, and forgive me for being deluded and ignorant all this while. Because they never understand how much parents has really loved them, care for them, and sacrifice for them. But at that time, due to certain misunderstanding, they just walk out of the house. And these are common. Many people have told me that. You know what they tell me? They say, my entire life, I just wait for the day my son or my daughter come back to reunite with me. There are many parents who have this problem. Sometimes in the newspaper, you also hear about that type of story. Okay. I read on. Just develop this metta meditation first until the positive metta force is very strongly felt within your heart. And when you can really feel the rather soothing and positive metta force flowing from your heart, then you will feel very, very good, and your bodily cell will recuperate much faster to bring about speedier recovery. Bye, and may you and your family members be well and happy always. And may the blessings of the Triple Gem be with you all, always, with metta, always. So that email can help you a lot if you have this, what they call negative mind state. You must do more and more metta, and your life will turn around, and your mind state will become very good. You will become more and more loving, more and more kind. Then people will love you, like you. It is the best tool to cut away evil root, enmity, envy, jealousy, hatred, all things. No any other way. The other way of suppression doesn't work so fast, I tell you. Apart from wisdom, of course. Wisdom is very powerful. If you can apply, then the evil root is gone. But without wisdom, the next best is metta, nothing else. Otherwise, you only suppress, I tell you. You can never actually root it out. Even I attended my brother-in-law's wedding. You know, they were Christian now, because their parents passed away already. Asked me and my wife to take over, represent them. So I went to that church, very big church, I think, somewhere in, I think KL, I forgot which part already. There is this pastor. Then there is this another one, also very senior, that blessed the couple. Then he said, after you are married, after you recite the thing, till death shall we never part, or something like that. Then he said, you must learn to forgive and forget. He said, anything that go wrong, always learn to forgive and forget. Then the pastor came out. He said, easy to forgive, not easy to forget, is it? What do you understand? Means what? Say only, I forgive you. But he cannot forget what happened. He hasn't really forgiven. Otherwise, how can you hold on to things anymore? That's why a lot of people have that idea. I can forgive you, but I'll never forget what you have done to me. That is what is the world is all about. Understand? So, if you forgive and still hold on to that thought, means what? You are still angry. Understand? You are still not happy with what he has done. Understand? But you never realize when you continue not to forgive, means what? You are holding on to this anger and hatred in your heart, you know. Not? And this is an evil root. It will kill you spiritually. It is the root of all evil. It will make you evil. That's why this anger can erupt. When you see him, you can become violent. Or when he just, somewhere you bump into him and he just say one word, you come out already. Because you have been thinking and thinking and thinking how to deal with this guy when you see him. So all this is what you call mental negativity that you have actually heedlessly think. Understand? Until it become like a strategy inside there, waiting to erupt. This is called latent tendency. No condition, doesn't come out. Got condition, zoop, it just erupt. So this is the part I would like to share with you all. The rest you go back and read. It is very useful because I don't know how many of you really read. I actually didn't intend to compile this in the early days, but because of the many emails that I wrote, a group of Kayana Mitta friends, they came and appealed to me. Is it, Brother Teo, why don't you compile them? Is it? These are so useful. It has helped so many people. That's why that time I say, okay, you all help me to do the typesetting everything, then I will do it. Otherwise, no point because I can't type. Then they also have some of my email. So everybody starts to produce the email. Then I vet through. Then I compile them. I must read to you the acknowledgement. This last part, maybe we have a minute or so. This one is very useful. Acknowledgement. It is the donor, the Kayana Mitta who donate to this. We use the Kayana Mitta fund. That's why I say only Kayana Mitta fund can do this type of thing. It just costs us about $1 a copy. It's very cheap. It is the donor's intention that these enclosed notes be given free to all who are interested. And as such, we would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends who had donated and helped in the typesetting, in the typing, typesetting, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of the Dhamma Dana possible. With metta always, and may all beings be well and happy, and may they all too be free from all suffering soon as possible. So this is the acknowledgement. So hopefully you all can make use of the free distribution to develop your understanding of whatever teaching or meditation as taught by Lord Buddha. Whatever benefit you can get out of this, it will bring about tremendous joy to the Kayana Mitta who has donated. And it can bring about a lot of wholesomeness. That's why this type of wholesomeness is perpetual as long as the note is still around. So I leave it to you all. Your life, you decide how you want to live. Okay, we got 2 or 3 minutes left. Do you got any more question? If you don't have, then maybe we will do the closing ceremony. The closing is, we will do what they call the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then today I think we have to invoke something, so for Chui only. Anybody else? Only Chui, Our sister, Kayana Mitta friend, Miss Chui, she went to Selayang Hospital to check out on something. Then they tell her, you must x-ray your leg. Then they found there's a fracture. I don't know which part of the leg, I don't know. So she is now on plaster of Paris. Then she need to use a cruncher. So she may not go for her planned trip to Uzbekistan. So she told me she really apologized because she cannot join us tonight. I told her, don't worry, you rest. We will send you metta to recover fast. Okay, we will reflect on what we have done today. Then we rejoice. Then after that, we share merits. Then we do our closing puja. Okay, we should all recall to mind all of the meritorious action and wholesomeness that we have cultivated since coming here. We have paid respect to the Buddha. We have renewed our faith. We have taken refuge. We have renewed our five precepts. And we have also developed the meditation. We have also listened to quite a bit of Dhamma. Then we have also straightened our view as we go along. Then there is also a lot of rejoicing, wholesomeness. And by all this wholesomeness, shall we continue to rejoice? We recite metta three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will invoke the power of merits. By the power of these merits that we have cultivated through our wholesomeness and our meritorious action, may it bring about causes and conditions for all of us, including Chui, to have good health and good life always. Then for Chui in specific, may she recover to good health. May her leg or whatever fracture that she experienced, may it be something that is tolerable so that it will heal as soon as possible, so that she can be back to normal again in the not too distant future. Then after that, we shall continue to invoke the blessings of all these merits. May it to bring about causes and conditions for all of us Dhamma friends here to realize our good and noble wishes as soon as possible. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. Okay, we rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then now we will do the sharing of merits with the devas, transform merits to departed ones, then invoke blessing for the nation. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca mehi sampadan punya sampadan. Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we'll invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha Raja Bhava Tadamiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Okay, now we will do your aspiration. It means punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we can end.
First of August.
First,
brothers and sisters, the class is on next week Thursday, which is the 1st of August. And on the 8th and 15th, we are away in Bangkok, so the class will be off for 2 weeks. So 1st of August is on, 8th and 15th is off. As for the notes, I think I'm out of the notes, so I've got to reprint. Oh God. It's just that it's not binded on the side. Sorry, I do have. Saturday,
for the recording, anyway, that we can't
retreat. Oh, yeah.